Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
This is the Carlin versus Joe podcast on ESPN Radio.
Man, what a holiday weekend this is going to be. Bowl games, NFL games, NBA hockey in full swing. We've got Ravens, Niners, Monday night, Christmas night, 8:30 p.m. Eastern on ESPN and ABC. Earlier that day, we've got the Christmas doubleheader on ESPN Radio, Bucks at the Knicks. That starts at 11:30 a.m., immediately followed by Warriors Nuggets. And then there's the game that's been falling through the cracks. He's Ian Fitzsimmons. I'm Joe Fortenball, Carlin versus Joe on ESPN Radio. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. With all eyes on Baltimore-San Francisco, you got a matchup, Ian, of the two teams that bring the same Achilles heel to the table. The ability to win the big game. Or should I say inability to win the big game, as the Cowboys are going to try to bounce back from the Buffalo loss on the road against a very good Miami Dolphins team that hasn't beaten anybody this year. Dolphins -1.5. I mean, is this the proverbial loser leaves town match? Because if you can't win this one, if you're going to lose a game to a team that can't win the big one, that's not going to look good for you come Monday morning.
You know, with the Iron Claw coming out, right? Is this Kerry yes. Von Erich, Ric Flair, loser leaves town,
wait.
Right?
Zac Efron got big for that.
Dude, I mean, one, being in Dallas, now we're kind of taking a turn off the old interstate here, man.
Only took about a minute in the segment. That's okay.
that's long for us. But I can't wait, man, because those dudes, Von Erichs, were absolute legends and still are legends in North Texas. So the Sportatorium was a legit place where they grew up wrestling, man. I can't wait. I really can't. So loser leave town. Yeah, it could be for the Dallas Cowboys, staying with the Dallas theme and the Iron Claw, and Miami Dolphins. I expect Dallas, man. You got some guys with some serious pride, like Micah Parsons, like Damone Clark. I mean, when you wear 18 at LSU, you're not just an exceptional player. You are a leader of men. And Damone Clark wore 18 at LSU. So, and for people who don't know, that you have to earn that. That is the highest honor for any LSU player. And that is voted on by your teammates, the coaches, and the former 18s. And so, he had a bad game against Buffalo. And I've known DC for a long time. And, man, when he got put on pancakes by Jeff Saturday, and I can't remember.
That segment gets better and better, by the way.
They're just chucking pancakes
all over this studio with millions of dollars worth of equipment.
It might be my favorite segment on sports television when those idiots just start watching large humans knock the ever-loving just snot out of any other human being. And that was Damone Clark. He went for about a 20-yard ride into the end zone. That's a prideful bunch. I expect to see them play a heck of a lot better, especially, keywords, on the road against Miami, because they have heard you, me, everybody talking about how they just don't travel. So I expect them to show up on Christmas Eve.
Who do we think needs this one more? I mean, you can get into the weeds
Cowboys.
On the mathematics on, like, you know, if you got to do this, this, and this to win the division, and you got to do this, this, and this to give yourself the best possible chance of progressing to the playoffs. It feels like if the Cowboys lose, you go home, you can probably maybe still find a way to get past the Eagles, who are stumbling all over themselves despite an easy schedule down the stretch. And then on the other side, though, if you think about the Dolphins, if you're going to be at all worth a damn in the playoffs, at some point, you got to beat somebody. And the next 3 weeks for the Dolphins are hosting the Cowboys, traveling to the Ravens, and then hosting the Bills. And if they lose either of those first two games, which is the home game against the Cowboys or the road game against the Ravens, they lose either of those, and Buffalo wins their next two, which they'll be double-digit favorites against the Chargers and then the Patriots, in week 18, that game becomes for the division. And you're going to be limping into the biggest game of the year, and Buffalo's going to be storming into the biggest game of the year. Like, if you're Miami and you lose this game, you could be staring at three straight losses to close out the season, and that's no way to go into the playoffs.
But, Joe, you and I talked about this on Monday, and just fast-forwarding past this game to the final week of the season, if that game were in Buffalo, I'm taking Buffalo right now. with your money and my money. I mean, yeah, just go ahead and hammer it. I mean, but this one is in Miami, and strange things happen. You talk to any member of Bills Mafia, they openly talk about how they can't stand going to Miami. The players hate going to Miami. It's not because of the heat and whatnot. It's just they truly believe that the Dolphins cheat against the Bills every single time they go down there.
Is that really the belief?
Oh, yes.
They believe they cheat.
Ask Christine Lisi, our resident member of Bills Mafia. She'll come in. I've never seen that woman get angry in my life. And you want to talk about Bills at Miami where strange things happen? She might haul off and knock the hell out of you. I mean, weird things happen down there, man. So that one, I can't wait to watch it because I want the division on the line. But this one on Christmas Eve, I think this game is as big for the Cowboys as any game since 1996, when that was the last time they even sniffed an NFC championship game. It is a massive regular season game because they need some confidence going into the postseason because we know they are going to make the playoffs.
Which of the two do you trust more to make the deep run in the postseason?
Do I have to pick one of these two?
Yeah, I'm curious because it feels like it. To me, the Dolphins strike me as a team, and health is obviously a concern, but it's a concern for everyone. The Dolphins strike me as a team that if they can get that one big win and get that monkey off their back, if they can just win one big game and eliminate that narrative, that could open the floodgates to run through an AFC that's kind of wide open this year. That's what they strike me as. It's like they need that confidence booster. They've lost a big game to Philly, to Buffalo, to Kansas City. Every big game they played and they lost, and that's all we talk about. But they are a damn good team, and they're really well coached. It feels like if they could just get one, that could be the difference for them. Am I crazy to think that?
No, and especially, I like the way they bounced back after that historic loss to the Titans, and it was historic. They gave up. They had a 14-point lead with 3 minutes to go. We have not seen a team blow a 14-point lead in the regular season of an NFL game with 3 minutes to go since 1976.
It goes back that far?
Yes.
You would have figured the Jets would have managed to do that at some point in the last 5 years.
Every now and then, you got to get a Jets shot in every segment on this show. I love it. That's for Evan, right? But they were able to bounce back and pitch a shutout. So I love the way that they were able to recover from that, literally, that historic loss to the Titans. You got to is Tyreek Hill playing this weekend? Because they are a completely different team with that dude on the field.
That's the key to
and
everything.
Not on the field.
That's the key to his value. I mean, when we talk MVP candidate, you take him off the roster and it changes everything.
You've seen it.
What's he listed as? He's questionable right now? All right, questionable. It's a Wednesday. That seems – I mean, they're going to need it because I'll tell you what. If you're the Dolphins and you're trying to work your way through this late end-of-season scenario, you can't have firm grasp of the division and blow it late and then go in as a wild card. You can't. You can't fall apart like this. And if you're calculating things, and I know no one ever says this publicly, the road game against the Ravens is the least likely of your three victories that are coming up. Now, the Ravens will be coming off a Monday night game, so it's a short week, and it'll be against the Niners, so it'll be a very physical affair. But I don't think you can sit back thinking you're going to go to Baltimore and win that game. So you've got to be thinking, this Cowboy game is everything. Because if you lose to the Cowboys and then you go out and you lose to the Ravens, you're just going to be stumbling all over yourselves against a Bills team that, in my mind, is absolutely going to take care of the Chargers and the Patriots in back-to-back weeks. That's what is so fascinating about the situation Miami finds itself in. It's almost as if the whole season has set itself up for them to shut everybody up late in the year and then make the run. But you're right. If Hill isn't out there, I don't trust Tua to navigate it. So that's that. And with Dallas, you don't bounce back here. No one's gonna come off a Miami win talking about Miami the next day. They're going to talk about how Dallas had multiple great opportunities to win this division and completely peed down their own leg.
Yeah, and if
can I say that, or am I headed for a meeting?
I think you're all right,
Coach. Feels like that one works.
There's been a lot more aggressive things said even by me than that, right? So, and somehow I'm still here. Hanging on by a thread, but we're still here. And the big word also to me is two letters when it comes to Miami. A.T. at Baltimore.
Yeah.
Early kick. Yeah. It's a noon Eastern window, and you're going to Baltimore. It's going to be cold. It's on New Year's Eve. I mean, and we have seen Miami try and travel up north in the winter. Guess what? 9 out of 10 times, it's not pretty. So that one is huge. That's why this game for the Cowboys, I mean, it's as big as it gets for the Fish.
What time is this game? This is an afternoon window game, right? I got to manage all of this. It's a holiday weekend. You've got the – I'm going to be honest, the last second gifts. Where are you at, last second gifts? You all right? Now, you get ahead of it?
You know, hold on a minute. Now I'm angry with you because you know what I have to do after this show. I just told you this during the break. My wife had me out because it's bulk trash pickup today. So I was out bagging leaves, which is my least. I love yard work, but I hate leaves, man. I will farm that out every single time I can. But because I didn't do it over the weekend because I was gone, therefore, I get slapped with that this morning before even a cup of coffee. So there's 8 bags of leaves out there for bulk trash pickup. And then she bookends with me having to go to a mall. We have to go finish Christmas shopping for the entire family. That's not, and I'm, why didn't we point and click this 2 weeks ago?
I was going to say, the internet didn't make its way to Texas yet?
So you knew the answer to that, and you're not laughing with me, that cackle. You're laughing at me. There is a huge difference.
I find it hilarious that non-work, work, non-work is the way your day is set up, and the work window is your best window.
By far.
It's not even close.
Hey, man, if Freddie and Harry need me to fill in for an hour or two, I'm in.
The shows.
Just please, because the last thing I want to do is haul my big bloated butt to a mall. I mean, that's like being in the inner rings of Dante's Inferno, man. I mean, go ahead and burn me.
That is how Ian Fitzsimmons is looking for a solution to his day. Just continue to work radio all afternoon. There's a college football coach out there who has solutions to all the sports problems, believe it or not. That's next on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app.
I hate you.
This is the Carlin versus Joe podcast on ESPN Radio.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships. Your skills. Your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/network.
How about them Huskies, man? 13-0.
Washington offense is explosive.
Penix floats it to the end zone. Touchdown.
He doesn't miss.
Watching the look on Michael Penix's face when Jaden Daniels was announced the Heisman Trophy winner, he's going to be playing for something.
Very explosive offense when it comes to the Texas Longhorns.
Making it to the college football playoff this year has proven that we are back.
Texas quarterback Quinn Ewers shines in big games.
Ewers gets it back. Throws. End zone. Touchdown, Texas.
Fireworks. The Sugar Bowl should deliver.
The college football schedule is absolutely insane right now. Bowl season, transfer portal, build up to the biggest games of the year. Speaking of which, Rose Bowl presented by Prudential, number 4 Alabama against number 1 Michigan. That's 5 p.m. Eastern, ESPN and ESPN Radio, January 1st, obviously. And then the All-State Sugar Bowl will follow it, number 3 Texas versus number 2 Washington, 8:45 p.m. Eastern on ESPN and ESPN Radio. He's Ian Fitzsimmons. I'm Joe Fortenbaugh. Welcome to the show. Carlin versus Joe, ESPN Radio. Chip Kelly innovated the sport, or brought innovations to the sport years ago at Oregon. Got everyone running up-tempo, sprinting up and down the field. Now he's got some thoughts, and some very interesting thoughts, about the direction of the sport, future of the sport, where the sport's headed. Pat McAfee Show, he joined him yesterday. Take a listen to this.
People are getting on players. Here's another thing about
opting out of bowl games. Well, do you know where the players learned about opting out of bowl games? From coaches. Because coaches coach their team for the regular season, then they're not with them for the bowl game. So there's as many coaches that are opting out of bowl games as there are players that are opting out of bowl games. But our calendar needs to be changed. The recruiting calendar needs to be changed. We got to somehow get the transfer portal and NIL taken care of. Because right now, it's really free agency with no salary cap. And you can be a free agent whenever you want. At some point in time, if this doesn't get changed, Pat, someone's going to transfer at halftime of a game and play for the other team in the second half.
Everybody laughs there, but think about what we're dealing with, Ian. Like right now, the transfer portal is where these guys need to make their decisions, but they also have bowl games coming up. And while all the bowl games don't necessarily matter, there are a handful that really do.
Look, this is he's spot on when it comes to the schedule. Like, we have National Signing Day, the early one going on right now as we speak. And these coaches right are these coaches were have been on the road the last 2.5 weeks. While also in recruiting, while also trying to get ready for, oh, I don't know, the national semifinals and the college football playoff. I mean, it's – and think about this, because the transfer portal window just closed as well. Malik Murphy, backup quarterback for the Texas Longhorns. When Quinn Ewers went down, he helped that team get to not one but two conference wins, which in turn – helped them get to the Big 12 championship game, which by winning that, helped them get to the college football playoff.
Yep.
You know what Malik Murphy can't do?
What's that?
Play and go and suit up with his Texas Longhorn teammates. Why? Because of the idiotic window that the transfer portal's in. It's right now. So he stayed last year. People forget this because I saw where, you know, he made the comment, I would love to be there with my brothers, but I didn't have much of a choice if I want to play. Because Quinn Ewers is coming back, and he is a stud. And he's just going to get better and better. You have Arch Manning also behind him. But Malik Murphy was offered a truckload of cash last year to leave Texas and decided to stay loyal to the Longhorns. Now this year, he is going to go and do what's best for him. But he can't go with his teammates where he quarterbacked them to two conference wins because of the moronic window that the transfer portal's in, and that's what Chip Kelly's talking about.
So why is it right now? Is it because it's the end of the semester?
I have no idea.
And kids can transfer and then start at the new, like all of a sudden academics matter? It's the academics, huh?
I have no earthly idea. I can't tell you how many coaches I've talked to about this, and it's not hard. They should get rid of this stupid early signing day we have right now, go back to what it used to be, and that's the only one that should happen. That's the first Wednesday in February. That's your national signing day, and every head coach that I've talked to, every coordinator I've talked to has said this as well. Then after signing day, you open up the transfer portal window for about a month. Go wherever the hell you want to go. And then you close it before spring ball begins. Because guess what happens in spring ball? When little Johnny doesn't win a starting job, all of a sudden little Johnny's mommy and daddy are going, you don't need to compete for a job. You need to go run from competition and seek life elsewhere. So all of a sudden now these coaches are just handcuffed. Because now, after spring ball, you can hit another portal window. It makes zero sense, and Malik Murphy is the perfect example of what Chip Kelly's talking about, because he can't go out there with his Texas Longhorn teammates in the college football playoff, in the Sugar Bowl, because of the idiotic window that this portal is in.
Like you said, he contributed in a big way to that team's success this year. When yours went down, he stepped in, didn't lose
any
games.
Great, but he helped them get two W's.
He did what he needed to do to put them in a position to continue on the path of making the playoff, which they inevitably did. He's Ian Fitzsimmons. I'm Joe Fornball. Carlin versus Joe here on ESPN Radio. We are presented by Progressive Insurance. So that was Chip Kelly speaking with Pat McAfee yesterday. Last week, UCLA takes out Boise State, 35-22, I believe, in the L.A. Bowl. Chip was speaking with the media during that entire process, and the topic on realignment in college football came up. He had this to say.
Football should be separate from the other sports. Just the fact that our school is leaving to go to the Big Ten in football, our softball team should be playing Arizona in softball. Our basketball team should be playing Arizona in basketball. But because football left... And they say, well, how do you do that? Well, Notre Dame's independent in football, and they're in a conference and everything else. I think we should all be independent in football. And you can have a 64-team conference that's in the Power Five, and you can have a 64-team conference in the Group of Five. And we separate, and we play each other. you can have the West Coast teams. And then every year we play seven games against the West Coast teams, and then we play the East. So we play Syracuse, Boston College, Pitt, West Virginia, Virginia. Then the next year you play against the South while you still play your seven teams. You can play a seven-game schedule. You can play four against another conference, another division opponent, and you can always play against one Mountain West team every year so that we can still keep those rivalries going.
He needs to keep those really well-organized thoughts to himself, okay? Because it's not like anyone else in sports has ever thought, oh, wait, that's kind of how the NFL does it, right? Like, where, look at, that's well laid out, and he's not the first to say this, Ian. Jim Harbaugh was speaking about this as well. Yep. Like, when we're talking about realignment, why do we continue to lump every sport in college in with football, and then everyone has to go as football goes? Let football go its own way. Let everyone else figure it out in a more traditional sense.
Yeah, and I've been praying and hoping one day we get a college football just commissioner. And it'd be Greg Sankey for me. I mean, Greg Sankey, the commissioner of the Southeastern Conference, would be remarkable in that position, but it's just not going to happen because, as Chip Kelly pointed out, it's too obvious and it's too easy and it's too smart right. to do. Think about this. When he's talking about how football should break apart, I was told this when I had a USC game. I think it was the USC-Washington toward the end of the season. One coach told me that the UCLA, let's just use, you know, baseball, all right, for example. UCLA and USC may be traveling on the same flight to go play Illinois and Northwestern back-to-back. So that they're cutting down on travel expense and everything else for the non-football sports, and they're going to go double dip it, right? So you're going to go play Northwestern, like UCLA would play Northwestern on a Saturday, and USC's playing Illinois, and then they flip it, and then USC goes and plays Northwestern on the Sunday, and UCLA goes and plays Illinois on Sunday. I mean, that's what we're having to do, and that's Chip's point, is they're having to overcomplicate something that is very simple. And that is, football should be separate. Gene Stallings, former head coach at Alabama and Texas A&M. I'm a student reporter in 1994 back at Alabama in the Crimson and White. And the SEC had just expanded. There were rumors the Big 12 was about, the Southwest Conference was about to mold in with the Big 8 and form the Big 12, which eventually happened. And I asked him about the future of college football. This is 1994. And he said, the future is probably going to be three mega conferences because we're all just going to go ahead and eat each other up. And we're all going to, just go ahead and it's the greed of money and everything else. We're going to gobble up all the big
Gene,
power
that
schools.
That could never happen.
Right. I'm looking at him like he's an alien. And like Quato just came out of his side. Right. I mean, like,
wait, get to the reactor.
Well done.
All-time moment.
Total recall,
all-time
right?
moment.
I mean, look, I go, what in the hell is this man talking about? He's insane. Well, guess what? Here we are.
Here we are.
The Big Ten and the SEC. And then, is the ACC going to go bye-bye with Florida State now, dipping their toes into their future and possibly leaving the ACC after the college football playoff snub? Gene Stallings in 1994 saw this happening, and now we're living it. I don't think we'll ever go to one mega conference like Chip Kelly's talking about. There's too much money involved that the Big Ten's making and the SEC's making. But I think Biebs may end up being spot on with three mega conferences, and football should separate. So do you agree with that or disagree with that?
NFL's got yes, separate. Why do we think that football is the same as swimming? There's nothing in common in terms of viewership. They're both sports, but one is conducted very, very differently from a business perspective. So let it go out and do its thing, and don't let the other sports suffer as a result of it. Like, you shouldn't be traveling for a softball game from L.A. to Rutgers and then L.A. to Columbus, Ohio, and then L.A. to Minnesota. Like, you don't need that. Regionally, we're fine. It's a pretty large country. We've got plenty of institutions that have sports. We can figure it out. This Good Hands Moment of the Week is brought to you by Allstate. With insurance from Allstate, you'll be game day ready every day. Visit Allstate.com or call a local agent today to learn more. Allstate, you're in good hands. If you didn't see it last night, Ja Morant returned from his 25-game suspension, and he had a big message for anyone who doubted him during that stretch where he was absent. The question, however, was did he deliver that message a little too early? He's Ian Fitzsimmons. I'm Joe Fortenbaugh. This is Carlin vs. Joe on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app.
This is the Carlin vs. Joe podcast on ESPN Radio.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to JetsPizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
Feeling like you need a marketing degree and an extra day in your week to successfully market your small business? Let Constant Contact do the heavy lifting for you. Constant Contact's award-winning marketing platform has powerful tools that make it easy to grow your audience, engage your customers, and sell more to boost your business. Now, in just a few clicks, you can launch a marketing campaign that's tailored to your business and goals. That includes email, social, SMS, and more. So you can sell more, raise more, and fast-track your business growth. Plus, you can always count on Constant Contact's award-winning customer support for guidance along the way. So get going and start growing your business today with a free trial at ConstantContact.com. Constant Contact, helping the small stand tall.
You know, when you come back, just understand that you're not going to be the same guy as you were. And not, that's not just off the basketball court, but on the basketball court.
I still think there's a legitimate shot because of how we like the comeback story for Ja Morant to be the face of the league, depending upon how he handles this comeback.
This dude has an opportunity to write a great second story, right?
Yeah.
His first story, obviously, the chapter didn't end well. I mean, this dude has all the opportunity right in front of him. All he's got to do is take advantage of it.
Well, phase one complete. Ja Morant of the Memphis Grizzlies returns from his 25-game suspension to start the season. He returns last night in a road game against the New Orleans Pelicans. Final score, Memphis 115, New Orleans 113. That moves the Grizz to 7-19 on the season. More importantly, however, Morant went nuclear. 34 points, 6 rebounds, 8 assists, and the game winner. And senior writer for NBA.com, Michael C. Wright, caught a moment on X, which is what it's referred to now, of Morant, quote, "I kept receipts," Ian Fitzsimmons. He had, "I kept receipts," is what he had to say about the performance and everything.
Is that a little too soon to be talking about keeping receipts after one game? And I understand.
Well, what are the receipts of?
People saying
you got
whatever.
Into trouble.
Yeah. I mean, you beat up a teenager in a pickup game in your backyard. You brandished guns, plural, on several different occasions, leading to a 25-game suspension. Might be a little soon to break out the "I kept receipts," Deion Sanders quote, right? I mean, because how'd that work out for Deion in Colorado? I mean,
eventually it turned a little bit. Got into the meat of the schedule there.
Yeah, exactly right. I mean, you're not playing TCU anymore, right?
But there still, those were the receipts of people saying they weren't going to be successful, they weren't going to win, it was all hype. Okay, they still had a better-than-average season. It wasn't people doubting Morant's ability. It was people looking at Morant saying, dude, you're screwing up everything.
Off the court.
You're screwing up everything. You're making nothing but bad decisions. It's not receipts. It's people pointing out a series of mistakes that you have chosen to make.
Yeah, and look, it was, as he said, it was the perfect ending for a perfect day. He had 27 points in the second half alone.
Huge.
I think he had, I was watching SportsCenter earlier, Joe, I think he had 3 separate go-ahead field goals in the last, like, 80 seconds of the game. I mean, it was, here, give him the ball, he's on fire, go win it for us. And he did. But is it? It may be a little premature to break out the "I have this guy saying it that I won't be able to come back and I won't keep my head on the straight." Whatever it may be, maybe a little soon after one game to break out the whole "I kept receipts" comment.
Rule number one in the crisis management handbook presented to you by Joe Fortenball is humility first and foremost. Humility. That's the first thing you got to do. You got to humble yourself. If you want to win people back and you want people to forget about the mistakes, because we are, believe it or not, a forgiving culture. We're very forgiving. But you got to give us the reason to forgive you. We don't want to look like idiots. That's what it comes down to. Outside of being forgiving, we all are so vain, we don't want to look stupid. So we're not going to buy in unless you give us a reason to. I always point to the same example with this. During the baseball steroid era, Everybody who was accused of everything had a variety of directions they could have gone. And then there was Andy Pettitte of the Yankees, who just kind of gets up in front of everyone. If I remember the presser correctly, he's in just like T-shirt and jeans. And he admits he took steroids. He admits to it. He said, I'm paraphrasing, but he had gotten hurt. He wanted to speed up the recovery time and come back and pitch. He knew what he did. He's sorry for what he did, but he copped to it. And when you remember Andy Pettitte, that's one of the last things you think of, is that he was a steroid guy. Like, that doesn't come up first. Then there's a handful of guys that when you mention their name, despite the accomplishments, it's like, oh, yeah, steroid guy. Because they
Rafael Palmeiro.
Just at every single turn, they fought it and denied it. And that's fine if that's what you want to do. But that ends up being a big part of your legacy. Pettitte isn't necessarily remembered for that. He was humble. He copped to it. He apologized. And that was that for a lot of people. Moran with the I kept receipts. Okay, he's fired up about everything. But just day to day, handle your business. Talk about the team. Talk about how you're excited you got a second chance. And people will come back around. The question is, do you think after everything that's happened, he is capable of putting together a plan that eventually results in a complete heel to babyface turn where people like him again?
Yeah, I mean, look, America loves the underdog story and they love comeback stories.
Oh, yeah.
So if he's truly gotten rid of some of the people that were in his life off the court that he needed to, then yeah, he can do this. Absolutely. Heck, he was so unselfish. When I was reading Tim McMahon's piece on this game and, you know, his first game coming back, he didn't want the ball for that game winner. He suggested to get the ball to Jaren Jackson Jr. had a pretty good game also for a post-up play. And that's when Des Bain told Timmy Mack, no, I ain't having it. You're on fire, dude. You're getting the ball. And he did, and he hit it, and he hit the game winner.
Look, man, we are 6-19. You're taking the shot.
You got 27 or 25 of the time in the second half. We're getting you the ball. Just go win the damn game for us, right?
Right.
I mean, so but to have that unselfish attitude, that to me was impressive. When I read that from Timmy Mack, and I hate giving Lurch any credit, but it was a great piece by Tim McMahon on ESPN.com. That kind of took me back for a moment. Like, oh, look at this. Unselfish, wanting to give up the ball. And again, these are all on-the-court things. We all knew what he could do on the court. It was his life off the court. That's where he has to make sure he continues on this right path. And if he does, yeah, America will embrace him again because we love a comeback story.
He was just on track to be the face of the league. The fact that the guy, his willingness to try to posterize everybody was one of my favorite things about him. Like, consistently trying to dunk viciously and violently on the biggest and baddest dudes in the NBA.
Just like, embarrass you.
Yes, just to give us, the fans, that beautiful highlight. Like, that's what we loved. Everyone can make mistakes. Everyone, just learn from them. If you get better from it, you can get right back to where you are. I don't know if Memphis can get back in it. I mean, you start 6-19. You pretty much have to rip off, what is it here? It would be a 13-game winning streak just to get to 500. To 500 at the midway point of the season, you had a 13-game winning streak. I don't know, though. You find a way into the play-in, maybe you make some noise. Now, Morant didn't just talk about keeping receipts. He did also have a lot of nice things to say in the pregame presser. Take a listen.
Obviously, you know, basketball is, you know, like you said, something I've been doing, you know, pretty much my whole life. Something that's, you know, therapeutic, you know, for me. Obviously, you know, taking that away, it makes it tougher. But like I said, I had, you know, the right people around me, from my family to the organization and to my other partners that, you know, helped me along this process.
We've seen step one, step two on the horizon. Could be an all-time comeback story. Rooting for him. Let's see if he figures it out. He's Ian Fitzsimmons. I'm Joe Fortenbaugh. Brock Purdy, odds on favorite to win the MVP award, but there happens to be this one underdog who still has a chance to steal it. That's coming up next. Carlin versus Joe, ESPN Radio and the ESPN app.
This is the Carlin versus Joe podcast on ESPN Radio.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
Robert Half research indicates 9 out of 10 hiring managers are having difficulty hiring. If you have open roles, chances are you're feeling this too. That's why you need Robert Half. Our specialized recruiting professionals engage with our proprietary AI to connect businesses of all sizes with highly skilled talent in finance and accounting, technology, marketing and creative, legal, and administrative and customer support. At Robert Half, we know talent. Visit roberthalf.com today.
We've got the odds.
Want a bet? Oh, great.
Is it a good bet?
I like those odds.
Or is it a bad bet?
Take my money, take it off.
Carlin versus Joe, ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive Insurance. He's Ian Fitzsimmons. I'm Joe Fortenbaugh. We, like you, are waging the annual war of trying to fight off the onslaught of cookies and cakes and desserts and showing little to zero willpower throughout the course of this. I think maybe we'll wrap the show with that conversation, boys. But Christine's baking more stuff today. Handman looking at me. Is it any good? Yeah, it's good. She's batting 1,000.
Eric,
Beavis.
That was a rhetorical question. It was more about, should I have one?
Yes.
Do I, you know, go off the diet for a second?
Handman, if Christine Lisi made it, it's good.
Yeah.
It's decade running.
Yeah. I mean, like, Cal Ripken, in looking at her streak versus his streak, Cal Ripken walks away feeling inferior. That's how that works. All right, good bet, bad bet. We'll do more of this at the end of the show because it's like we can't be talking about cookies now. We're not going to be able to figure anything out. Evan Wilner, producer extraordinaire, welcome to the show. Lay it out for us. Go ahead.
Yeah, so I'll give you a bet. I'll give you the odds. These are via ESPN Bet, and then you'll tell me based on value if that's a good bet or a bad bet. Ian Fitzsimmons, let's start with you. Lamar Jackson is plus 450 to win NFL MVP. That's second behind the odds-on favorite Brock Purdy. Lamar Jackson, plus 450 to win MVP. Good bet or a bad bet?
Because of the value, I'd say it's a good bet. I think it's still going to be Brock Purdy winning it. But if he has a wet-to-bed moment on Monday night against Lamar Jackson and Lamar goes off, you're getting good value right there, plus 450. So $100 to get you 450, yeah, that's good value. I'll take it. That's a good bet.
The answer to your question about whether or not it's a good bet is the answer to the following question. Do you see Baltimore, A, beating San Francisco in San Francisco this week, and then B, beating the Miami Dolphins at home the following week? They end the season with the Steelers. They likely win that game. If you think Jackson wins those three games in a row, make the bet. Make the bet, because plus 450 will be long gone after he beats the Niners. That will swing. And then if he goes on to beat the Dolphins the following week, he's going to secure a one seed, and he's going to be putting up big numbers, and he's going to be beating big opposition down the stretch.
You may have just changed my mind on that, but because I think San Francisco beats Baltimore.
Yeah, then you probably want to stay away from
Purdy
plus 450.
Probably won't be playing against the Rams. If they win the next 2 weeks, I mean, he's going to sit. So that gives Lamar another opportunity that he won't have. I still think Purdy wins it, but just going contrary.
I don't know if that last game of the season, when they're not meaningful, if you've got the Niners sitting and the Ravens are playing the Steelers, I don't know if there's enough there to swing it like you'd see in the Heisman Trophy. Like, at least you get the conference championship games.
Yep.
I don't know if that would be enough. So it's all going to come down to what you think about that Niner game. Okay, now that we spent the entire segment on just one of the 15 options, let's break for lunch. What else we got?
So, Joe, you brought this up. The Bills are plus 225 to win the AFC East. But if they win the AFC East, they would have a pretty good path to the Super Bowl. So let's go with this one. Buffalo Bills, 7-1 to win the AFC. Is that a good bet or a bad bet?
All right. So the first thing you want to do in these situations, if you want to get good at this sort of thing and break it down, is take the odds, 7-1. And then you convert that to the probability. 7-1 is basically saying 12%. So ask yourself, do you think Buffalo has a greater than, less than, or equal to chance of 12% of winning the AFC? If you think, man, I give them 1 in 5, I think they have a 20% chance of winning, then make that bet. I don't think 7-1 is a bad bet. I like them a little bit more at plus 225 to win the division. But then if they win the division, boom, you're going to be in play with action to go out there and win the AFC. I would take a shot on this right now. I don't think there's a place Buffalo can't go and win. That doesn't mean they're going to go and win everywhere, but 7-1, I think that's a decent bet, Ian.
You made my head hurt with all the percentages there. I actually followed it.
Someone trying to educate you hurts your head?
Yeah, I mean, you know, if to my knowledge, it would be no math, but I like the plus 225. I don't know if I would go 7-1.
All right.
But yeah, there you go. There
plus 225 right. Lays out nicely. We can
like
do that scenario later for people and see if they agree with us.
Shane Steichen is 3-1 to win Coach of the Year. That's just behind Dan Campbell and D'Amico Ryans. But the Colts will play the Texans in Week 18. So, Shane Steichen, 3-1 to win Coach of the Year, Ian. Good bet.
Nah,
or bad
too
bet?
Too low. That's a bad bet because look what Stefanski's doing in Cleveland also. That's one where I don't know where he is. That dude's winning games on his 18th quarterback. But 3-1, even though it's Gardner Minshew and he's got him in the 7 seed right now, I think that's a little low for me. I would not place that bet.
All right, so first and foremost, I have no idea why Dan Campbell remains the favorite to win this award. They're doing pretty much exactly what they were expected to do. They're good, they're not great. He's been the favorite all year. Have we seen some of the games he's coached? They have looked like straight butt cheeks in some of the games we've watched. That game against the Packers on Thanksgiving.
Well, who's butt cheeks?
Not attractive butt cheeks. If they're attractive butt cheeks, you'd want to look at the Lions. That's theater of the mind. You should figure that out for yourself.
It's different. Hey,
listen.
The standards there.
If you and I were doing this show Rio de Janeiro, I wouldn't be using that term because we'd be like, oh, butt cheeks. Yeah, they do look good. They're having a great season.
You're looking at me, so there you go.
We're looking at you. I got it. So, yeah, I don't get it with Dan Campbell. Steichen at 3-1, I don't know. It feels like the vote is going to be split all over the place on this award. To your point on Stefanski, 9-1, he's won games with 4 different quarterbacks. He could win 12 games this year, but he won it a few years ago, so I don't know if the voters are going to want to go with him.
Why does that matter?
And by the way, why don't we talk about Kyle Shanahan for Coach of the Year? Has anyone noticed that he's the coach of the best team in football with the dead last pick in the draft at quarterback? You can't talk about how important the quarterback position is and then take the last pick in the draft as your quarterback, win a ton of games with him, and be like, yeah, that's not really that great of a job. I like Dan Campbell, who looks like good butt cheeks, not bad butt cheeks. It's just nuts to me. I would say bad bet. I like Steichen. I don't like the price, though. I think there's going to be too many votes flying all over the place for this thing.
So to your point on that, they have recently changed the awards and the way it's done. It used to be everybody just voted for one guy. Now you put a ballot together and it's a point
system.
Like
the Heisman, right?
Yes. So the guy who wins Coach of the Year, because there's so many candidates, might not be the guy that gets the most first place votes. It could be just the guy who gets the most points.
Steichen will get a ton of second place votes. It feels like he'll be second place for a lot of people. The Campbell thing, again, I like Dan Campbell. I just don't think he's done that great of a job relative to the expectation. D'Amico Ryans and Shane Steichen have done much better jobs relative to what we thought of them.
So there you go. Then maybe it is 3-1. Good odds. All right. Boca Raton Bowl tomorrow night. It'll be Harry Douglas and Chris Carlin, ESPN Radio on the call.
Oh, that's the broadcast team, Carlin and Harry Douglas. I like Harry. That is low-hanging fruit.
South Florida. South Florida. I love Carlin. I still want to work with him in the new year. I don't know about Joe. South Florida, +3 versus Syracuse. Ian, good bet or a bad bet to take the points and the Bulls?
I am going to go a different route here. I took the under last week.
Classic.
At 60.5. It's dropped to, I think, 56.5 on ESPN Bet right now.
There's some 57s out there.
There we go. I like the under in this game so much, I played it a week ago.
See, that's the beauty of this show. You're asked a gambling question about a side, and it's like, no, I got a better one. I got the total for you. I'm going to completely ignore what you have asked me and give you something different. I agree with that under, but isn't Syracuse missing its top 2 quarterbacks for this game? So why would I want to lay 3 with Syracuse and the money's coming in on Syracuse if they're going to be without their top 2 guys? Bowl season has been very difficult for me to figure out. So I'm with Ian. I'll play the under.
All right.
No one's going to answer your question, Evan.
Sounds great. Another great game.
I have just been scratched from a fill-in job on this show for perpetuity. Evan's like, get him out.
Joe's been scratched from his full-time gig on this show. We're going to have a whole new lineup again in January.
Do you like the Ravens or the Niners? I'm going to tell you what I like. I like Lamar Jackson under 11.5 rushing yards. Here's why. Okay.
All right. I'm stuck with the same game.
Another great performance for Steph Curry last night and the Warriors. Steph Curry 60-1 to win MVP. Good bet or a bad bet? Ian?
Put $10 on it. Not going heavy, right? Because MVPs also have to come from contenders. And I don't know by the end of this run, even though they've won 3 straight, if they're truly going to be a contender in a very difficult West.
Sadly, I agree with that. Sadly, Steph's in a position where he has to do so much to try to justify winning an MVP award. It's like one of those guys, just you set the bar so high, and we've given you awards for winning 73 games in a regular season. Why would I give it to you now when you're a 9 seed? So, nah, not a good bad pass on that.
All right, last one, another NBA one. The Indiana Pacers won the East of the in-season tournament. We know they can play in big games. They are 55-1 to win the East. Good bet or a bad bet?
I'll sprinkle there. They don't play any defense. You need defense in the playoffs, so it's not going to be the least bit surprising if this bet doesn't win. But the Celtics in big spots find ways to lose. I think there's 55-1. Let's sprinkle.
Are the Bucks still in the East?
Yeah, they are.
Yeah, okay, there you go.
Pacers took them out, though, in the in-season tournament.
I don't care. Dame just hung 40 last night.
It's a seven-game series. It's not just a one-game playoff.
Oh, is that the format? You're right, though. The cream rises to the top.
No one said it.
I know your point. The cream rises to the top in the seven-game series. It's 55-1. We don't want to have a couple long shots around here.
Is that how it works?
All right. We told you Lamar Jackson still has a chance at the MVP. We'll tell you what he needs to do on Monday if he's going to win it. Carlin versus Joe, ESPN Radio.
This is the Carlin versus Joe podcast on ESPN Radio.